Shkalim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, 2-2. This is a fantastic Mishnah, but it deals with a number of different topics that you may be not so familiar with, and also is fairly conceptual, so you got to pay a little extra attention. The basic series of topics that the Mishnah addresses revolve around the question of what happens when you use a coin which already is invested with some level of Kedusha, and then you use that coin to pay for your machzor shekel obligation. So we'll have a few different topics here. The first cases are revolving around the question of me'ila. Now me'ila, which means the misappropriation of sanctified things, is a prohibition from the Torah all to itself. It's worse than just generic theft, because you're misappropriating God's property, so to speak, and it carries with it a more severe penalty than generic theft. If you have an object which has been consecrated and invested with sanctity, that it's been given out to the Beis HaMikdash, either as Bedek Abayis for the upkeep of the temple, or even more stringently if it's to purchase like an animal sacrifice with, etc. So if one makes personal use of such an item or such money, which would mean either he just, you know, a person commits this cup to be a contribution to the Beis HaMikdash, and then someone drinks out of the cup, or a person commits this cow to go to the Beis HaMikdash as a korban, and a person gets a piggyback ride on the back of the cow. So by getting benefit from these things, that's called me'ila. And similarly, if you just use this sanctified money or object and put it to sort of secular purposes, let's say you repay a debt with it, so that would also be me'ila. And in such a scenario, so if one commits an act of me'ila b'shogeg, not realizing what he's doing, so then the consequences are he has to refund the Beis HaMikdash with something new or return the money or whatever the story is, plus add a chomesh, which means that for every 4 units of value, he has to add a 5th unit. So if I ate the Beis HaMikdash's hektish bagel and it cost 4 shekels, I have to return a total of 5 shekels of value to the Beis HaMikdash. That's called the chomesh. And in addition, there's an obligation to bring a korban, a special korban called the asham me'ilos, the guilt offering that comes for doing me'ila, which is a separate requirement all to itself. If one actually did it intentionally, knowing full well what he's doing, and did act of me'ila, so then there's no possibility to bring a chomesh, which would affect, you know, some sort of atonement for him, nor is there an offering to be brought. Instead, he just gets malchus, lashes, like most love in the Torah, most prohibitions in the Torah carry the penalty of lashes. And of course, he has to make compensation. If he ate the bagel and it cost 4 shekels, he'd have to give 4 shekels back to the Beis HaMikdash as well. So our question of our mission is revolving around when me'ila applies, if you're using coins that have invested kedusha with them for your own purposes. Now, if a coin were consecrated as the machzor shekel, that invests with kedusha. And if it's invested as such, if someone else makes use of that money, for sure that's me'ila. If he uses it to pay a debt, he uses it to buy himself an ice cream cone. In both those cases, he is doing a transgression of me'ila. The first case of our Mishnah, however, is where Hanosen Shiklo L'Chavero Lishkol Bo Al Yado, where Mr. A gives Mr. B a coin, and he says, listen, Mr. B, I'm going on vacation. When they come around collecting the machzor shekel, do me a favor, here's a coin, give that in for me. And the scenario is specifically where Mr. A did not invest kedusha. He didn't call this a machzor shekel. He didn't invest with sanctity now. He gave a generic coin and said, pay my obligations with it, which means his intention essentially is that it isn't invested with kedusha until such time as the coin is included with the rest of the coins that are being used to purchase the korbanos tzibbur, as is done with machzor shekel. So the question is now, Ushkalo al yedei atzmo, Mr. B uses that very coin to pay his own machzor shekel obligation with, meaning he just is a cheapskate and wants, you know, he's using his body's money to pay for his obligations. So the question is, when does an act of me'ila happen? So the Mishnah says, im nitrama truma, if the first sampling of coins had been taken from the coins collected thus far. And with it, they're used to purchase an animal which we offered as a korban, like a tamid, shashach, or whatever it is. So if that's happened, so then the coin which was given originally just as a generic coin from Mr. A to Mr. B now becomes a coin which is part of the coins of the machzor shekel coins, invest in them with Kedusha. So if that's already happened, so it says here, im nitruma truma, if the first coins have already been taken from the pile, so that invests all the coins that have been given wherever they are, whether they're the coins that are included of those that are taken from the box where the coins are, or the coins that are still left in the box that weren't collected in the first handful, or if they're on the way to the Beis Hamikdash, as the case of our scenario, all the coins that have been contributed now are considered to be machzor shekels, and everyone's participating, at least conceptually, equally in the purchase, you know, in the money that's being used to purchase these animals. So once that sampling is taken, so then the coin that was given wherever it is invested with Kedusha, and if subsequent to that event, Mr. B uses this coin, which is now invested with the Kedusha of machzor shekel, he uses it to pay for his own obligation, so then of the machzor shekel, he will be doing an act of me'ila. Meaning, if he gave the coin on his, you know, to pay his dues prior to Nitruma Truma, so then what he gave wasn't invested with Kedusha, and if that's the case, so then he will not be doing an act of Me'ila. Now, in terms of the acts of Me'ila, normally if you do a mitzvah or something, that's not considered to be being mo'el with it, because you're not, well, it is inappropriate, it's not using it for your own personal benefits. We paskin mitzvos lav lehenos netnu. Mitzvahs aren't there to give you personal benefit, so if you use a consecrated item for your mitzvah purposes, although it's not right, it's not technically me'ila. But here, it's worse than that, because this guy is actually saving himself, having his money taken from him, and we saw they actually would confiscate, mamashkin also. So he saved himself that confiscation, so he's saving his money, so he's getting a direct benefit as such, and therefore, if the coin that he had already was invested with Kedusha, again, I'm repeating myself, either because not the case of our Mishnah, where the person, Mr. A, gave it to Mr. B and had already invested with the Kedusha, or alternatively, the case, yes, of our Mishnah, where Mr. A gave that coin without investing it with Kedusha yet, but since it's on its way to the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash takes the first sampling of coins to purchase Korbanos subsequently, so at that point, it invests all the coins that have been contributed, even the one sitting in Mr. B's hand from Mr. A waiting to be contributed, and with the status of Machzor Shekel, and now, since it's invested with Kedusha, if Mr. B uses it to pay his to get himself preventing himself from having stuff confiscated from him, he will be doing an act of me'ila, and he'll have to bring his korban, etc. Okay, that's the first case of the Mishnah. The second case of the Mishnah is a little different. It's where there's no Mr. B here. Mr. A set aside money and invested with sanctity, but the money set aside was for, let's say, bedek kabayis, for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. So it's invested with Kedusha, but not the Kedusha of Machzor Shekel. It's a different Kedusha. So you're not allowed to, you're not supposed to use something with, you know, one type of sanctity for a different purpose. But it won't be considered to be an act of Me'ila, the formal act of Me'ila for where there's, you know, a korban required, etc., unless some specific act is done which effects a misappropriation, a misusage of this coin, which was designated, say, for bedek kabayis. So I think this is very abstract, and maybe not so. I'm going to give it a metaphor which I think is more familiar to people. The second you, if it's Shabbos, the moment you put some dough in an oven to start cooking, you've done the wrong thing. On Shabbos, you're not allowed to do that. The second you throw a ball in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, you've done a wrong thing. You can't do that on Shabbos. But you're not yet liable for a chatas when it comes to Hilchos Shabbos. You break Shabbos inadvertently, so the obligation is a chatas. When it comes to Mila, it's a ashim, but same thing, similar thing. So even though you've done the wrong thing, you won't be on the hook for the chatas until the bread bakes or until the ball stops moving and you have the hanach of the ball. Until then, you've done the wrong thing, you've, like in spirit, broken Shabbos, but there's a technical line that has to be crossed before the act of culpability, the actual moment of Chilul Shabbos occurs. In the case of bread, it's when it starts to get crusted. And before that, and only then, when it crusts, at that point,
do you become obligated in having done a proper actual act of Chilul Shabbos for which you're liable to chatas? You're not liable for the ball that you throw in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim till there's the Hanacha, it comes to rest. And at that point, you've done the full act of Chilul Shabbos to the point that you're liable for a chatas. So too, there's a certain line that has to be crossed in the misusage, the misappropriation of a coin which has been invested with Berek Abayis Kedusha, let's say. It has to be misused in a way that crosses a definitive line before you'll be obligated in the crime of Me'ila, for which you have to give a Chathas, etc. An Asham Me'ilas. So the line is crossed in this case when when money is taken from the chest, some monies are taken, and used to purchase an animal, and that animal is offered as a korban. It's the offering of the korban, meaning the splashing of the blood, the application of the blood to the Mizbeach, that is an act which now is like the formal act which effects the obligation of transgression of Me'ilah, analogous to the stopping of the movement of the bowl or the crusting of the bread. So that's the case of our mission over here, where you have Hashokel Shiklo Mima'os Hekdesh. A person gave his Machse Shekel from a coin that was already designated as, let's say, Berek Abayis, designated with Kedusha for the upkeep of the temple, not for the purchase of communal korbanos, as the case of the Machse Shekel. So, when will one be obligated? When will one have transgressed Me'ilah and have to give, let's say, a korban, etc.? Im nitrama truma, when the subsequent to the giving of that half shekel, which was already had kedusha with it, when that is the coins are now sampled after that. When after that coins are taken, some sample of coins are taken from the chest, and ukarva habehema, and an animal which is purchased from those funds is offered, meaning the blood is applied to the mizbeach, the altar. At that point, ma'al. That's when the obligation of Me'ilah kicks in, and that's when I have to bring now a korban, etc. Prior to that, he's done the wrong thing, but it's not a past the point of no return. You could back out of it, hypothetically. The same way, if the bread is taken out of the oven before it crusts, you did the wrong thing, but you haven't reached the point of no return, and you don't have the obligation of Chilul Shabbos, and same goes with the bowl, whatever the case of the bowl is, doesn't come to rest, 4 hours away from you, whatever the story is, whatever. So then again, you won't have crossed the line. So too, if hypothetically you can get that coin back, so then you wouldn't yet be liable for Me'ilah. So that's the point of our mission over here, that the moment that effects the Me'ilah of a formal misusage of the coin which is invested with Kedusha type A, Berek Abayis, let's say, to Kedusha type B, Machse Shekel for Korban HaSibur, is the offering of an animal's blood that was purchased with the monies that were contributed by Klal Yisrael in the Machse Shekel. Good. I hope that's good. Now, let me give you a nafkamina to illustrate this point. One important nafkamina. One important difference. So one is only obligated to... You can do Me'ilah and not necessarily be obligated in bringing a korban. The Asha Me'ilah's offering is only, the guilt offering is only applicable to one who transgressed Me'ilah b'shogeg, not knowing what he had done. So, if, for example, the same way, if after I throw the ball in midair on Shabbos, I remember, oh my goodness, it's Shabbos, I should have never done that. So when the ball comes to land, Chilul Shabbos will have happened, but I won't bring a korban chatas for my breaking Shabbos because I didn't do the whole act in an act of shkaga. I knew what was happening before the end, before it came to rest. Same goes with the bread in the oven. If I realize what's happened before it's fully crusted over, so I won't bring a chatas because the whole thing wasn't done b'shkaga. So too over here, if I realize the coin I gave as the machse shekel was a coin that I had pre-designated with kedusha of Berek Abayis, let's say, so then if it's too late, they can't get it back, and they end up, you know, later on, they end up, you know, purchasing an animal and offering it. So since by the time the animal was offered, everybody was aware of what happened, I will have done an act of Me'ilah, but I won't be on the hook for bringing a korban because I did, the whole thing wasn't done in a state of a shogeg. Okay, one more case, or like, you know, one more, two more cases, the mission wraps up. We're now talking about coins that actually haven't got, they have some kedusha, not kedusha that is subject to the rules of me'ila, because it's not dedicated to like the base of mikdash and God, so to speak, but it's invested with some kind of kedusha. The two kinds of kedusha we're dealing with here are kedushas ma'aser sheni and kedushas shvius. I'll explain both, and the rules are basically the same for both of them. So the idea is, let's talk about ma'aser sheni first. Ma'aser sheni is in years 1, 2, 4, and 5 of the 7-year Shemitah cycle. You're supposed to take a second tithe of your produce and bring that food up to Yerushalayim and eat it in Yerushalayim. That's the idea of ma'aser sheni in a nutshell. If you don't want to schlep up all that food to Yerushalayim, you have a plan B. Your plan B is to redeem the kedushas ma'aser sheni, take that ma'aser sheni status off of the food and put it onto a coin, and then take the coin to Yerushalayim and use that coin to purchase foodstuffs in Yerushalayim. Now, the coin can only be used for foodstuffs and similar for ma'aser sheni. The general rule, therefore, is, like across the board, is that if you have an obligation, a davar shebechova, eino ba ele min achulin, you can't use any coin other than a generic, unconsecrated coin. That means, if you have a coin which was designated as ma'aser sheni coin, you're not allowed to use it to pay your machzor shekel bill. Not allowed. And if you do, if you take a coin which is invested with kedushas ma'aser sheni, and you use it for your machzor shekel, you've done a no-no. And actually, you've done a no-no for two separate reasons. The first reason is because that money has to be used to purchase foodstuffs. And although the actual truth is the ideal purpose, the ideal usage of ma'aser sheni money is to buy korbanos. Those are korbanos that are personal shlamim, privately owned peace offerings, which will be eaten by the person who brings it and his friends. That's great. But the korbanos tzibor that are used with the ma'aser shekel, the purchase for the ma'aser shekel money, are to me then are olos, they're burnt offerings that no one's eating. And that being the case, it's a forbidden use of ma'aser sheni money. That's one reason why it's a no-no. The second reason why it's a no-no is because you're not supposed to use, you're supposed to give free and clear money that has not invested with Kedusha for your machzor shekel obligations. So you did the wrong thing. So if you do that, while you've done the wrong thing, you can still pick up the pieces and repair things by redeeming the Kedusha off of the ma'aser sheni coin, wherever it is, and then putting on that kedusha onto a new coin, and then taking that coin up to Yerushalayim to eat with, to purchase foodstuffs and eat in Yerushalayim. And that's what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah gives a second case where the dinar are basically the exact same, which we're talking now about a coin with kedusha shvius, shmita kedusha. When it comes to the 7th year shmita, you're not supposed to do commercial activities with the produce from the land. There are, however, certain scenarios where you're allowed to sell food that has shmita kedusha in it. Once the if the food has Shemitah's Kedusha, it has the sanctity of the 7th year, you can't do commercial things with it, you can't waste it, and so on. So, but let's say you have leftovers that you don't want them to go to waste, and you could sell them to somebody else. So the money that is used to purchase that Shemitah food is invested with Kedusha Shvius. It now has sanctity. The money has sanctity, and you're supposed to use it to purchase other foodstuff and eat those foodstuffs also with the same strictures that you eat other foodstuffs that have Kedusha Shvius. So that's Kedusha Shvius, the money itself does. Now, it'll also be subject to the lachos of beer and so on. Okay, so the money's got a certain sanctity. If you use such a coin that's invested with Kedusha Shvius to pay for your machzor shekel, again, you've done a wrong thing. It's a no-no. The same two wrong things as before. First of all, you're supposed to use free and clear money for paying your machzor shekel. And second of all, it's supposed to purchase foodstuffs that are beaten by Kedusha of Shvius, and here it's being used to purchase carbonos that won't be eaten with the strictures of Shvius, so you've done the wrong thing there too. So the same solution that applies to the Kedusha Shvius will apply to the Ma'aser Sheni money. You basically redeem the Kedusha off the coin onto a new coin, and then use the new coin to purchase food which you'll eat either as Ma'aser Sheni or as a Shemitah as appropriate. And that's what the Mishnah says here. The Mishnah says, Midime Ma'aser Sheni, if you use Ma'aser Sheni money, or Midime Shvius, or you use Shemitah money, like as I described before, to pay your Machzor Shekel, Yochal Kenegdon, you must eat an equal value parallel to the money you gave. Meaning, you gave a you gave a machzah shekel, it's a shekel coin that had Meister Sheni on it, for example, so then Kedusha on it, so then you will deconsecrate it by making a formal declaration. You're going to say, you know, the coin that had the Meister Sheni coin, wherever it is, that I gave as the machzah shekel, should be deconsecrated onto this particular coin in front of me now. And that will actually be effective. So now the coin in front of you now gets the Meister Sheni Kedusha, and the coin you gave previously now has been cleaned up. You've solved the problems. The same for the Kedushas Shvias. There is a general rule that you're not, under normal circumstances, a person is not able to either consecrate or deconsecrate things that are not in his possession, and this coin is not in his possession. It's moved on to the Beis Hamikdash somewhere. Who knows where it is? But in this case, it is effective in deconsecrating it because the Beis Hamikdash itself is just as happy as you to deconsecrate the coin. They don't really want this coin that has Kedushas Shvias or Kedushas Meister Sheni, so they're really happy for you to have it back. Obviously, they can't give it back to you directly, but they have no objection to deconsecrating their coin, and therefore your act of deconsecration is indeed effective.